It seems like an increasing number of agencies and programs are dedicated to helping senior citizens stay in their own homes later in life, which makes a lot of sense when you think about the fact that there are more seniors all the time, with the entire large baby boom generation moving into retirement these days. The village concept is used in many places, including in Ashland at the Ashland at Home program. That program and several others like it have been chosen for scrutiny from an academic study. We have two guests in the studio with us. Catherine Danner is the Ashland at Home Executive Director. Welcome back, Catherine.
Thank you.
And David Florian is here as well, who actually gets to wear two hats. He is both a member and a volunteer. Welcome, David.
Right. Thank you.
So, Catherine, tell us first about the formation of Ashland at Home, how it got started and what it's generally about.
Okay. Ashland at Home started with some conversations of people, of neighbors right near the college campus here in 2009. It took two or three years of conversations to be sure that this was something that they wanted to start. So in 2012, after we received our 501c3 nonprofit status, we started offering a membership for founding members in July of 2012, and they helped us formulate how we were going to provide services and so forth. And then in January of 2013, we opened to the general public, and so we're now in our third year of operation.
And so, David, you're a member and a volunteer, so you get to work it from both ends. Tell us about what you get as a member, and then what you do as a volunteer.
Well, as a member, you can essentially you can get all these services. The volunteers will come and do all sorts of things for you, like when you get older, things like getting on ladders and just doing easy things sometimes become something of a problem, and you can just call up. Ask for the service, one telephone number, one call, and all sorts of things happen at your home. It's really great.
And so what do you do then as a volunteer?
And as a volunteer, of course, I just do that because I'm interested in helping other people. And I'm the person that goes out and does all of those things. I've decided that I can do things like technical things with computers and helping people, driving them to appointments and that sort of thing.
And so is it a frequent thing, Catherine Danner, that people do what David does, where he's both a member and a volunteer at the same time?
I'd say about 20% of our members are both volunteers. It started off, most of our members, our early members, were volunteers as well. But now we have 60 members and 68 volunteers, and I think about 20 of those people are both members and volunteers.
Was the Ashland at Home concept, the village concept, was it something that was already out there? Could you essentially adopt another community's program off the shelf?
Yes. The original village was the Beacon Hill Village, which started in 2001.
And, is that a Boston thing?
In Boston, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And they were kind when we started really got going. We were able to get their operations manual, and it kind of helped us to develop what we are doing now through the Village to Village network, of which there are 160 villages across the country and about 200 in some stage of organization. There are two toolkits that the Village to Village network has developed, and boy, I wish we had had it when we were getting going, because it really is a step by step. The first one is determining whether your community can support a village. And then the second one is, assuming that you've made that decision, how do you go about starting, you know, getting a board and developing services and those sorts of things.
That sounds like a real interesting project right off the get-go, to figure out if your community can support a village.
Absolutely.
How do you determine that?
Well, in our community, as I said, the conversation started in 2009, and in 2010, a survey was sent out largely to OLLI members, and then I saw it as part of my Rotary Club at something I was at, and 1,500 surveys were sent out, and more than a third of them were returned, and there was a clear wellspring of interest and to start a village here in Ashland. And so then, after that, a board was formed, and we went through the whole process of a 501c3, and we then adopted a platform that helps us do all of our service matching, a computer platform, so that we, you know, when a member calls for a service, I can automatically call up all the names of the volunteers who will do that particular service. And it's really been a wonderful, just the support we have through the Village to Village network and the use of that particular platform that has been set up for villages has been really, really helpful and helped us to be pretty successful in what we've been doing for the last 3 years.
So the skills that are there, I mean, in the early days, were there things like, oh, well, we haven't cataloged that one yet? And so, I mean, have you gotten to the point where your database is complete enough that you feel like you have an answer for just about every question?
Well, for as far as the services that our members ask for, they know kind of the maybe 30, 35 categories of you. They're under four main topics. I mean, transportation, personal services, home support, and technical and home office support. Those four categories, then within them, there's five or six specific services. So our members know this is what is offered, and our volunteers have said which of those they're willing to do.
You mentioned the village-to-village network. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, it started, actually it was because I think the Beacon Hill Village folks were asked by so many people like us that they then realized that as they were growing as a village, they now have 350 members, that they wanted to be able to not spend so much of their own time on this. So they got, and by that time there were many other villages, particularly on the East Coast, who agreed to come together in a collaborative effort and created another nonprofit called the Village to Village Network. And it has been just an amazing resource for us in terms of, you put any question out there and people across the country will respond to how they dealt with that issue or another issue. And they are the group behind this national evaluation feasibility study that we have been chosen to be a part of.
All right, more on the study in just a moment. That's the reason that we have Catherine Danner and David Florian here. Catherine is the Ashland At Home Executive Director. David Florian is a member and volunteer. And you can join our conversation on the exchange. You may have questions about how the village network works, the village system works, specifically within Ashland At Home. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. And so let's talk about this national study. It comes out of UC Berkeley, is that right?
Yeah. It's the result of 3 years of evaluation that were being done by nine villages in California that had a grant from the Archstone Foundation. And they found, as part of their grants, they were required to prove to the Archstone Foundation that how they were assisting members and what kind of services they were providing. And so now they had such success for those nine villages that they... the Village to Village Network got a grant from the Retirement Research Institute to implement a feasibility study to see if an evaluation system could be adopted nationally in all villages that would help us be able to better define the members that we serve, the services we provide, and to document the value that villages have.
How different, then, will a village be from place to place? I mean, is Ashland At Home providing a lot of services that might not be provided in a similar program in, say, Colorado or New Mexico or something?
Yeah.
Or?
That's a good question, Jeff. I think that basically villages are alike. They're largely volunteer-oriented. Many of the services that are offered are done by volunteers. But the services will depend on, in every area, transportation is big. But that in other areas, other parts of services may or may not be as important. And that's one of the things we're going to find out through this study is we're going to learn, is the core of services that we're offering, right on, or should we be offering a few others that we hadn't thought about? But it's... I'd say in bigger cities, there may be more... all villages offer a certain social component in addition to the in-home services that we offer. I don't mean in-home in terms of caregiving, but all of our services begin by going to a member's home, if it's just to pick them up and take them someplace or to help them, with their pet or whatever it happens to be. But in some villages that are either older, longer, bigger, more members and so forth, some villages are maybe, there are even some that are in high rises that compose an entire village. So you can imagine the differences of what can happen. I mean, ours is really a virtual village because our members and our volunteers live anywhere in Ashland and Talent. But some villages have, the Beacon Hill Village, I think even does international travel things for their members. And I think we'll be a while away from doing that sort of thing. But we do offer a variety of programs and small groups and that kind of thing for our members as well.
I was going to ask you if there were what the geographical confines were. It is larger than just Ashland.
It is Ashland and Talent. Anyone who lives in Ashland or Talent is eligible to be a member or anybody could be a volunteer.
So, David, I mean, I can assume you're retired, can't I?
I am, yes.
Okay. So how long into retirement were you before, I mean, give us some comparison here between pre-Ashland at Home and post-Ashland at Home, just from the member standpoint.
Well, there, my wife and I moved here about 6 years ago. And when we got here, this was just being talked about. And we were in at when they sent out these surveys and went over whatever. And it was very interesting to us. It was exactly the kind of thing that we were looking for. I'm not looking to retire like my parents retired. So we got here and we decided we were going to go ahead with this. And really, you say, I retired when I came here. Before I came here, I was working. And actually, I didn't I didn't necessarily need the services. But it was such a good idea that I felt that it was necessary for people to actually support it, whether or not you need the services. So we came and we joined, and of course I also joined to be a volunteer at the same time. And actually I'm starting to take advantage of the volunteers, the other people, that, of the things that I would like
advantage
to have.
Advantage in a good way. I mean, right, the way
right,
that's
right,
expected,
right, 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 right.
And so what kinds of things are you having them do for you? I mean, and I'm going to guess that the expectation is that over time, the things that you can contribute are going to be somewhat less just based on physical constraints and things like that.
We just moved into a new house, and we needed to have some furniture. I mean, like, we didn't call them up and ask them to move us, obviously. But we did have some furniture that had to be rearranged, and, of course, I couldn't do it by myself. So I asked people to come over and do that. We've had people come over. I have some problems with vertigo, and so I don't want to get up on ladders. And a couple of times I've had to have people come in to just sort of change the alarm batteries for the alarm system, the smoke alarms, that sort of thing.
Okay, got it. Yeah, the stuff that's hard to reach and all that. The so how will the information for the study from UC Berkeley, Catherine Danner, be picked up in Ashland? But who's going to provide that, and is there further observation and surveying of things of it from people coming in from outside, or is it all self-reporting?
No, it's all self-reporting. There are three parts of the survey. The first is an intake questionnaire for all new members, an annual member survey, and we'll be administering that to all of our current members, and then again at the end of the year. And then there's some service tracking. And the Research Institute grant allowed the UC Berkeley to set up an online portal that, and we have five volunteers that are working with me to do these surveys of our members, and then we'll be able to just input that directly. And the beauty of it is that we'll be getting, in kind of an answer to your former question, we'll be able to see where our, we'll get regular updates in terms of what our members are saying and what they're wanting, and then the services that they're using, and we'll be able to compare that across the 25 villages to see, you know, how we're doing and what we might do differently. I want to go back to just a description about the kind of services that Ashland at Home offers. Mm-hmm. And the operative kind of concept is that we do the kinds of things that you would ask a good friend or a neighbor to do for you episodically. So just that's kind of the concept. And then we, in addition to the services that David and other volunteers offer, is we maintain a list of member recommended vendors that, you know, obviously we don't send people in to do electrical work or plumbing and that kind of thing. So if members have used a service that they found gave them good quality at a reasonable price, we will then give the members two or three names of those and for them to go beyond what our volunteers can offer.
Something like a rating system, an information bank.
Yeah.
These are the good plumbers. So.
Well, no, we don't say good or bad. We just say a member has used them and found them to be reputable.
Okay. Which is, mm-hmm, like saying you get good service from them.
Yes,
anyway,
exactly. Right? Exactly.
Are you still in something of a shakedown cruise? I mean, 2.5, 3 years now. I mean, are you still figuring out what works and what doesn't?
Well, I think we've got our service matching. When a member calls and asks for a service and a volunteer is found to respond to that, I think we've got that down pretty well. And what we're developing now is really this additional programs, discussion groups, and those kinds of things for our members. there's Ashland and Talent are pretty people are pretty active. They've moved here probably many people in their retirement because of the plays and Ollie and so many cultural things to do and opportunities to get involved. And so we're trying to find our place in that milieu for our members and volunteers. And we do invite our volunteers to all of our things because we found that our members, when we were at started, we thought, the members want to get to know each other. And we did about two things just for members. They said, where are the volunteers? And that's just a mirror of how dynamic this relationship is between our members and our volunteers. They become practically members of the family from the minute they knock on your door, which is pretty wonderful.
We're talking about the Ashland at Home program with Executive Director Catherine Danner and David Florian, who's both member and volunteer. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the basic workings of the program and the scrutiny coming from a study run out of University of California, Berkeley. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org or just watch, in a sense. You can go to our Facebook page and check out a picture of David and Catherine from a few moments ago. Is it a little hard to measure overall success in the sense that if Ashland at Home is doing what it is at heart designed to do, mm-hmm. it's essentially preventing something, which is somebody having to move out of their home and into a mm-hmm. residential care mm-hmm. facility, that sort of mm-hmm. thing?
Is it hard to measure that? Well, yes, it has been, and that's what this study is hoping to do. I must say the morning I was on a webinar telling villages what was possible and to ask us, any of us were interested to apply. That morning, the man at UC Berkeley who's leading the study had a call from the director of CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, saying, can you tell me how villages are helping people live independently in their own homes as longer, because there are financial ramifications for this, as we know. The need for support for people for long-term care in facilities is going to grow, and the degree that people can be kept in their homes longer happily with confidence and security, it will reduce the need for public funds and facilities. And there will never be enough facilities built, even if they were all affordable, to accommodate the all of us who are getting older.
The big bulge of people
coming
out of that baby boom generation. You were talking about how people feel like members of the family, and, mm-hmm. and I'm curious about, I know we've asked before about training and background checks uh-huh. and that sort of thing, and how extensive those are.
Yeah, we do train. All of our volunteers have to go through a two-hour training session. They have their driving records checked, and they we undergo a criminal background check before they are allowed to be of service to our members.
And how difficult was that to go through, David Florian?
Not at all. No problem.
He's an upstanding citizen.
I try.
And we've mentioned some of the things you can do for other people. What kinds of things do you do?
Do I do for other people? I'm pretty open. We do allow most of our transportation things are within the area of Talent in Ashland, but we will take people to the airport or bring them back from the airport. So I'm one of the people who's willing to drive to Medford. It seems to be sometimes a people say, oh, my God, Medford's so far away. I come from the Bay Area, so far away. Yeah.
No, I can imagine that. Is there an optimum size for villages, I wonder, Catherine, if somebody is taking a look around? Because I know that just on a basic sociological level, I know there's some science that indicates that the best functioning groups tend to be right around 150 or smaller.
Well, that's interesting you should pick that number, because based on the demographics of our community and what we see in other villages or saw when we were developing, we thought that we would probably reach about 150 members at our maximum. And that, remember, would mean at least 200-250 volunteers. So it becomes, about a 400-person organization. And that's for Ashland, that would be very large for this kind of a organization.
Are you surprised you're not a little bigger at this point? I know when you think about having sent 1,500 surveys out, about a third of those were returned. That indicates interest uh-huh. potentially in the hundreds, and you got 60 members at this point.
No, actually, it's grown at a really manageable pace for us, because it is You know, we're dealing with people individually. The way our people learn about us largely is in every third Sunday we have an information gathering in a person's home. 10 or 15 people come, and that sets the tone for what this organization is. As I've said often, you won't see us marching in the 4th of July parade because we're not that kind of an organization that can just take tons of people, because it's very personal, and it I think we're growing. We hope to be at 75 members by the end of June, which is the end of our fiscal year, and I think we probably will be. And we had projected 5 years to be near our membership goal, and that was, we set that idea before we'd even had one member. So we'll see how it turns out, but I think it's growing. When I look, we're one of two villages in Oregon. The old, other one is the High Desert Village in Bend. They had, the last I checked, 35 or 40 members, and they are 2 or 3 years older than we are. So it's a...
Is there either a passed around within the village-to-village network or something that's within your own operational manual, getting to a point where you help people figure out that they're really not best equipped to remain in their own homes anymore?
That's a good question, because it is something that our membership committee is definitely wrestling with and will be wrestling with, because we know that our members, you know, we hope to help people live in their own homes as long as possible. And we don't provide the hands-on activities of daily living kind of care, but we know that some of our members will need either to move or will need higher level of care than we can provide. We're hoping in that case we'll still be able to provide friendly visits and some of the other things that bring community to them. But we are looking at how we're to set up a subcommittee of our membership committee or of the board that will have look at that transition issue and how we can help our members through that time.
And what's the period of collection of information for the study from UC
18 Berkeley? Months. Mm-hmm. So it's starting, actually, we're going to do our first intake for a new member this week, our first survey of that, and then we'll be doing a survey of our current members in 6 weeks. We'll be finishing that the middle of April. And then, you know, in 18 months from the 1st of January, mm-hmm. we will know the study will be over.
All right, so mid-2016, and then mm-hmm. Information somewhat thereafter.
Well, throughout, too, because we get regular reports.
Okay, we'll be back in touch, I'm sure. Ashland at Home is the organization. Catherine Danner is the executive director. David Florian, a member and a volunteer. Thank you both for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you, Jeff.